Char gestured and took a step, when a loud bang heralded the sharp cracking of a slug hitting the stone wall near them.
Sekhmen!
The long blaster in Christie's grip boomed in response. Down the corridor, a man toppled backward, a crimson stain on his chest. More reports sounded, and the dull rattle of a .22 caliber Thompson submachine gun, the small caliber rounds impacting everywhere in a maelstrom of lead. Ryan fired his rifle a fast five times.
The lock!
Coming in rounds, JB shook his head.
No way. When you have superior numbers and arms, attack.
Doc's hands never stopped in their task of reloading.
Outnumbered, retreat, and attack later.
When trapped, do the unexpected.
Standing, Ryan triggered the rifle and took off down the corridor at a full run.
Charge!
Wild shots rang out, and the two groups were upon each other, blasting one man in the belly. The discharge of his pistol setting his clothes on fire, Ryan kicked another in the groin and received a brutal jab in the ribs. He reeled, feeling something snap inside.
Incoming!
Christy fired her blaster twice, then found JB in her sights and lashed out with the weapon to smash in the nose of an attacker. They were too close for blasters now, and everybody pulled out knives. As two of the Sekhmen closed in, Jack lashed out with knives and blood sprayed from the impact. Limping, the two dropped to the floor. Mildred shot a man in the knee and sternum. Dean sidestepped a saber jab, then put his pistol into the man's ear and fired. The slug's exit, taking a chunk of bone and gray matter with it. Doc elbowed a man in the throat, then ducked under a knife thrust. Bobbing and weaving, Jack knifed another. Summoning his resolve, the armorer grimly waded into the masked figures, punching and jabbing, kidneys, groins. This was no boxing contest with referee and bell, but a fight to the death, using every weapon Mother Nature armed people with. Two more Sekhmen darted around Ryan and charged at Doc. Undaunted, the old man yanked the saber blade from a still warm body and swung it in a glittering arc to parry a vicious knife cut. Swiveling his own blade inward to protect his vulnerable wrist, Doc thrust his arm forward, the razor-sharp edge slicing one man across the cheek and opening the throat of another. Then two men tackled his arm and wrestled away the blade. Doc drew his blasters, killed one and wounded another. Yelling as dramatically as possible, Mildred dashed across the cellar, hoping at least one of the Sekhmen would follow her. Three did. But upon turning the corner and reaching a clear area, instead of collapsing in a faint or cringing in fear, Mildred drew her pistols and gunned them all down ruthlessly. Clumsily, Shard clubbed the Sekhmen with his rifle, doing little damage. Then he froze as Doc raised a sword and lunged straight for his throat. The shiny blade went past Shard's head, missing by the thickness of a shave, and for one terrible instant, Shard saw a distorted version of himself reflected in the polished metal. Then the blade withdrew, streaked with red. Somebody gagged behind him, and a Sekhmen went crashing to the littered floor.
Thanks.
Shard's heart pounded in his chest.
Fight or get out of the way!
Grimly renewed, the former prisoner waded into the fray, punching, biting, stabbing, and clubbing like a wild beast. With a sound of splintering wood, JB shattered a rifle stock over a Sekhmen's skull. The armorer retreated to the wall as a knife wielder moved in for the kill. At the last instant, he danced out of the way, the blade shattering as it struck the stone wall. JB threw his arm forward, two stiff fingers going directly into the ocular cavity, crushing the man's eyeball like a ripe grape. The whole building shook as the hack room violently exploded. Dust rained from the rafters and glass shattered in 100 windows. Startled, the remaining Sekhmen stumbled in the concussion, confused and dazed. Prepared for the expected blast, the companions finished them off with ruthless efficiency. Doc dropped the saber and reclaimed his dropped pistols. JB found the Tommy gun and checked its cheese wheel clip.
Thought you liked swords.
Doc dumped out spent shells and rummaged in his pockets for live rounds.
My sword, not some rusty, bent saber. What's the difference?
JB worked the side bolt on the Thompson.
Blade man knows.
Jack pulled a knife from a cooling form. He and Doc exchanged glances and nodded.
Where's the exit?
Ryan held his aching side as he reloaded, the rifle held steady between his thighs. Mildred saw the action and made a mental note to keep a watch on the man. If those ribs were broken, he could easily puncture a lung with too much exertion.
What? Oh, yes, this way.
Shard started off. JB stopped him with his gun barrel.
Is that the nearest exit?
Yes.
Christie nudged him with a rifle.
Then show us some other way out. They'll be expecting us to try that.
The former prisoner nodded.
Of course. Follow me.
It started softly at first, a distant yowl that steadily grew in power and volume until it was a banshee keen, a mechanical scream of strident power.
The escape alarm! Every sect man will be rushing to protect the ward!
Ryan shoved him forward.
And his kids. Good. Our plan is to leave, not start a revolution.
With JB on point, they took the other branch of the T-shaped intersection. A long corridor branched again, and then again in a confusing maze, which led them to a stairwell and a laundry. Clothes were boiling in big cauldrons and drying on lines, but not a soul was in sight. He guessed that, when the alarm sounded, servants and slaves, not in chains, scampered for safety.
What's out that door?
JB jerked a thumb at the laundry. Shard blanched.
That goes to the dog kennels. We don't go there.
He indicated the stairs.
We go down through the mill and out the chute used to dump the Ville's waste into the river.
Any guards?
A few.
Armed?
No.
You've considered escape before.
Shard seemed embarrassed, as if caught in a lie.
Well, yes, it's true. At night sometimes, I dreamed of being free. I'm a very bad slave and wish to leave my masters.
Ryan slapped him on the back.
Good. That's halfway to being free. Not surrendering inside yourself.
Shard looked at Ryan with a strange expression and clutched his rifle more tightly. Mildred paused their progress.
It would make sense to have the garbage chute near the kennels. So why are we going this way?
Safer. Dogs would tear us apart.
And slower. Aren't they released during an escape?
Well, yeah.
Ryan motioned with his jaw, and JB took the point.
Then it's the one place we won't find any.
This was obviously new thinking to Shard, and he was hesitant to relinquish the standing order of don't go near the dogs. JB hefted the Tommy gun.
We're getting out by going to the center. They won't be expecting this.
The kennels were deserted, the picket fence enclosures for the dogs containing only the miasma of hundreds of animals. Suddenly, a hound dog with a bandaged paw limped into view from a doghouse. Ryan leveled his long blaster, but Jack stopped him.
Not hurt us. Just old bitch.
Ryan relented, and the beast watched them passing in silence. Then went back to its bed and circled itself a few times before flopping down. An office converted from a walk-in closet had been recently vacated, the remains of a meal on the desktop still steaming. Everybody grabbed a bite. On the wall near a centerfold, Dean found an empty gun rack, its locking bar swinging back and forth, keys in the padlock. JB examined the keys.
These look familiar. Yes, exactly like the ones I found on the Cold Hearts.
So?
Christie was halfway out the door. The man smiled at her.
So it means one of the Cold Hearts once worked here in the kennels and kept the keys.
Taking them off the nail, he slid the most worn one off the ring and swallowed it.
You never know. Could be useful.
Planning on getting caught again?
Doc had a blaster in each hand.
We must hope for the best, but prepare for the worst.
Rifle shots sounded somewhere not very distant, and a pack of dogs howled in hot pursuit, the noise trailing off quickly.
Door!
Ryan pointed at JB, Doc, and Christie. The rest of the companions stayed in the office, their weapons ready to give protective cover fire for the three as they sprinted down the corridor to the door.
Locked.
JB tried the keys on the ring, but none of them fit, so he used the lockpick. Turning toward the office, he tapped his chest twice with a closed fist, then gave a thumbs up. The people at the door used their weapons to track the approach of the five.
Dean, Jack, check the window.
Ryan's hand was on the latch. The albino cupped his hands, and Dean stepped into them. He climbed the rough wall as Jack shoved him upward as high as possible. His head made it over the sill, and the boy ducked down to only peek between the iron bars. Dean then offered a clenched fist, flattened it, and pointed at the ground.
Jack brought him down.
Ugh. Big room ahead of us is clear. Doors to the left, right, and straight ahead.
Dogs?
No sign of them.
Good enough. Wincing with pain,